Hello, everybody. I'm Warren Smith, and I'd like to welcome you to this extra episode of the Ministry Watch podcast, an episode that I recorded in Nashville, Tennessee, at the annual meeting of the National Religious Broadcasters. In the early 1950s, war had left tens of thousands of orphans in South Korea. Everett Swanson arrived there to preach the gospel to the troops, mostly in Seoul. But he was overcome by the amount, by the number of starving children, and he asked himself this question: what are you going to do? That question compelled Everett Swanson to start an organization that we know today as Compassion International. It's one of the largest orphan care organizations on the planet. Compassion now cares, in fact, for more than 2 million children around the world. And that question, what are you going to do, is one that resonates through time, even to us today. And it's the name of a new book about Everett Swanson's life. That book is by Eric Wilson and my guest today, Matt Bronlewy. Now, some of you may know Matt Bronlewy's name because he was the founder of the well-known Christian rock band Jars of Clay. But after leaving that group, Matt has had a robust career on his own. He's had a successful singer, songwriter, and producing career, and he's now producing his first feature film. As I said earlier, I had this conversation with Matt Bronlewy at the recent meeting of the National Religious Broadcasters. That took place in Nashville, Tennessee. And we began our conversation by talking about why he wanted to write this book now. Matt, can you tell everybody your full name and why you're here today?
Yeah, my full name is Matthew Ryan Bronlewy, and I'm here to support a book that Eric Wilson and I just co-authored, What Are You Going to Do?
And it's the inspiring story, as the cover says. I'm just reading from the cover. The inspiring story of Everett Swanson and the founding of Compassion International. You know, we can talk about the book, and I'm sure you're going to want to do that a little bit. But I'm a writer, and people can go read the book. So I want to talk a little bit more about the how and the why of the book. How did you get interested in this project? Why did you want to write this book now?
Yeah, it was a number of years ago. My wife's parents were in town. And they brought with them some kind of an anniversary book for Compassion. I think it was the 50th anniversary at that time. And my father-in-law was flipping through the first few pages, and he kept pointing and saying, Uncle Everett this and Uncle Everett that. And I paused at one point, and I was like, wait, are you saying that this guy, this founder guy, is your uncle? And he's like, yeah. He's like, you didn't know? And I looked at my wife and I'm like, why didn't you tell me this? I was kind of flabbergasted. And I felt like, oh, wow, I've married into like Christian royalty. Because for me, it's like I grew up knowing all about Compassion. We had a Compassion child, you know, a picture of them on our fridge, always at least one, maybe two. So I was very familiar with their work and what they did globally. So to find out that there was this family link, it was just amazing to me.
Yeah.
So I kind of tucked that away. I didn't do anything about it right then, but this story began to percolate because I began to hear from my wife's father, all about Everett's time in Korea. And this was during the Korean War when everything was happening there. And it was really thrilling, really amazing, and just very miraculous, some of the things that occurred. So it was a number of years later. I woke up one morning and just felt like I had to tell this story now, like this was the time. So this was actually about 5 years ago when this all began.
Yeah. So you decide you got to tell the story. And I am curious, if I could take a little bit of a side trip here, Matt. You were in the band Jars of Clay.
Yes.
And, you know, a lot of Christian bands have sponsorships or relationships with you know, big brands, big Christian brands like Compassion or Voice of the Martyrs or whatever. Did you have, when you were in the band, did you guys have any sponsorships like this? Did you work with Compassion in those days or not?
No. You know, in fact, Jars went on to create Blood Water, which was kind of their own thing that is still going now.
Yep.
And the lead singer, Dan Hasseltine, is still very involved, as are the other guys, in terms of the vision and everything. So, there weren't any connections at that time.
So this book, then, is not motivated by any of that, then, right? I mean, it's like,
right.
It's just completely that family connection and this passion that you suddenly felt. And so you woke up one morning, decided to write this story. I've written a few books. It ain't easy.
It ain't easy.
It takes time. If you wake up one morning and decide that you're going to write a book, that feeling can fade once you start getting into the actual work of it. I mean, what kept you going? What kept you going writing this book?
Yeah, that's very true. And I always think that for me, whether it's a fiction story, whether it's a song, something else, you know, the most inspiring time is that beginning, those sparks in the beginning, that first flame that kind of comes up.
Yeah.
But this story, the more I got into it, the more I learned, it just became more and more compelling. Especially as I began to do more research about Everett's connection to Korea and the people there. Unfortunately, when I was doing this research, it was during COVID. So I didn't have the ability to go to Korea. It was very difficult to get into Korea during that time. So I ended up hiring a Korean researcher. She was marvelous. She worked very closely with Compassion International's office in Seoul, and was able to get all kinds of interviews we didn't have, research materials we hadn't had previously. So it was a real effort on it, not just in America, but in two countries at the same time in order to gather facts for this story.
So to what extent then was Compassion involved in the writing? I mean, did you have editorial control? Was it a collaborative process? What did that look like?
Yeah. You know, first and foremost, this was Everett's story. So while Everett's story includes the story of Compassion, we wanted to make sure, and they wanted to make sure, that there was like an understanding about that. I definitely felt a real responsibility to the Swanson family to tell this story as well as I could. And Compassion was very respectful of that. Now, that said, I really wanted their involvement. I needed their involvement because I needed to be able to get in the archives and get the materials. And there were a lot of things at Everett's passing in 1965 that he passed to Compassion in order to take care of. So I needed to kind of re-enter and find the films that he'd left behind, find the dusty journals and all those kind of things and gather them up and be able to parse through them and see what would work well for the book.
Yeah. What did, as a writer and as a journalist, sometimes I fight the tendency to either be too hard on a subject or not hard enough on a subject. I developed an affection for the person I'm writing about.
Yeah.
And I don't tell the warts and all story that really needs to be told to help the reader really see that person as a human being.
Yeah.
How did you navigate that process?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely had concerns about it because I was working closely with the Swanson family and I wanted to be very respectful. That said, I wanted to be truthful and honest about Everett. One thing I should mention is that one of the greatest sources of material for this book was Everett's eldest son, David. And David Swanson was incredibly transparent, incredibly open about his growing up years, what it was like to both be a pastor's kid and then to be the kid of this founder of this company who was often overseas for, you know, long stints, weeks, if not months at a time. I think I was very drawn to Everett as a person. But I really did try to remain, I don't know, open to whatever I was going to find, whatever I was going to discover. Now, that said, Everett was a really marvelous guy and was so good with his family. And even David, for example, it's like David had told me that, yeah, it was tough having dad away overseas. You know, it was tough having him gone for these periods of time. But at some point, you know, Miriam, Everett's wife, I think, knew this intrinsically, and the children seemed to all take this attitude on as well. They understood the importance of what Everett was doing. I think in the same way that Everett inspired audiences across America to give and to sponsor children overseas, he also was able to impart that wisdom and that passion to his own family. And so while they knew it would be difficult to have him away, and there were repercussions of that, for sure, but they also understood the true value of what he was doing.
Yeah. So let's pivot just a little bit in our conversation, if I could, Matt. Not too much, still on the book, but talk to me about the title. What are you going to do?
Yes.
Where did that title come from?
So it's something that was said to Everett. It was very important. Everett had a really transformational time in Korea. I feel like I need to kind of just quickly tell this part of the story.
Sure.
He was in Korea. It was actually his second trip there. His first trip, he was on the front lines. This is 1951 is when he was first there. Front lines. He was seeing all the action. He's back in 1952 to be able to speak to the troops, speak to people, preach, all those kind of things. While he was there, he's walking through the streets of Seoul. And it was a chilly day, but he had his coat kind of wrapped over his arm. And a kid ran by, snatched his coat, and took off, like darted away. So Everett's used to these petty crimes. He grew up in Chicagoland area. And so he takes off after this kid, chases him through some alleyways. They end up in this little shanty town, as Everett kind of called it. And the kid ditches the coat, takes off. Everett goes to pick up the coat, and underneath is this shivering little child. Mm. And he's shocked. He's appalled. He runs. He gets some soup. He gets some blankets. He comes back. And as he's comforting that child, like dozens more kids show up. You know, now we know that there were over 100,000 children that were orphaned during that war. So this was an epidemic. And then sadly, the next day, it had snowed overnight. He actually returned to the same spot the next day. And he found out that there were trucks that would rove around Seoul and sadly, like collect the bodies of children that didn't make it through the night. So he's seen all this, and it's like there was a missionary there, actually a pastor in Korea, who approached him as he was about to get back on the plane to head back to America and said, now that you've seen the tremendous need and opportunity, what are you going to do? And so this question, what are you going to do, just became a resonant response that, like, it was for Everett. I mean, he would talk about on the plane trip back to America, what are you going to do, was just going over and over and over in his mind. This was the question that really begat Compassion International.
Mm, yeah. So final question, Matt, what do you want this book to do? What's your hope? What's your dream? What's your fondest desire for this book?
Yeah, I really feel like Compassion International has actually set it well for me in that they're extremely passionate about helping children, but they will also talk about big C compassion and small C compassion, meaning that big C compassion are these sponsorships, are these ways in which we can connect to children overseas that desperately need this help. Little C compassion is the things in our daily lives. You know, this question, what are you going to do? What are you going to do when the lady walks by and needs help with her groceries? What are you going to do when your neighbor next door can't get his car started? What are you going to do when somebody you know is going through cancer and needs help and needs meals? So this question is coming up in all of our lives daily. And this response to it, you know, Everett had this tremendous response to this question. He, after being asked this, gave the rest of his life to helping these orphans, helping these children. And so I think this question is really important for us too. Like, what will we do when we encounter these things in our own lives?
That brings to a close my conversation with Matt Bronlewy. His new book is called What Are You Going to Do? The inspiring story of Everett Swanson and the founding of Compassion International. I had this conversation with Matt at the annual meeting of the National Religious Broadcasters, which took place a few weeks ago in Nashville, Tennessee. The producers for today's program are Jeff McIntosh and Rich Rosel, and we had technical database and editorial support from Casey Suddeth, Kim Roberts, Stephen DeBerry, Christina Darnell, and a cast of thousands. I'm your host, Warren Smith, and until next time, may God bless you.